Hello, welcome to The Honest War Game. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Streak, however many numbers, 300 and blah, or something. And listen, a day... Oh, a little fluffy thing. Messed up, sorry. A very exciting day. Very, very exciting day because of Total War Warhammer 3 announcement. Some of you may know I'm actually a recovering Total War addict. I've been clean now for nearly a year. Congratulations to me. But this is like someone telling me they've invented new crack. And I can't wait to try new crack. I'm very excited. So I'm going to talk about it. Not in detail. I'm going to look at the Warhammer community site. I'm generally just going to be enthusiastic about it. Maybe kind of talk about it in case anyone's ever played it before. Might do some painting while I do that. And talk to the Twitch chat, which is nice. Just a nice chill show before the 40k show with Nick and Tom tonight, which is going to be excellent. Thanks to everyone for joining me live in the Twitch chat and wherever else. Appreciate you. Thanks to everyone who listens to the podcast. Please do stay hydrated. I'm going to drink some water because the intro kind of wrecked me. And then, thank you to everyone on Patreon who subscribes. I've just got a new Patreon today, Soon Home. So appreciate you. Thanks very much. All the cool kids are on that new crack. I agree. So hello, everyone. How are you all? Before we get started, I'd like to know how you all are, podcast guys. So Ty Winning, what's going on? Diadrin, it was a great trailer. Let's talk about that. Chris CB, hi, Rob. Hi, chat. Hi, Big Dog 6. Hello, MJ Pixies. First time we get a surprise guest presenter. We'll know you're at home in your PJ surrounded by food packets 14 hours into a Total War 7. 14 hours is rookie numbers. 14 hours would be like my first day on the... Oh, my God. I'll just have to stream it to save time. Prop Joe, I've Total War 1. The battles suck, so I just played Dawn of War instead. Does Total War improve the battles? Prop Joe, I love the battles in Total War. So I'm kind of Total War... The Total War Warhammer franchise for me... Hey, Lord Timo. Graham the Imperious, thanks for subscribing for the second month in a row. Really appreciate you. Hey, Delvil Chris, hope you're well. Hope everyone in Perth is well as well. Hey, Jabs, I'll absolutely do a 24-hour total stream. Adam, not even without batting an eye. Amp for the Bears. Hey, old mate Carb. Hi, Rob, making the actual stream for once. Hope that's good. Please fix the Grimgore starting location. Agreed. Chaos incoming. Oh, yes, Nezel. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. So yeah, Total War franchise for me has always been this. Obviously, I'm quite in love with, and I'm sure many of you are in love with, tabletop strategy games or strategy games generally. Like it's this lovely fusion. Warhammer is this like nice. I've always liked turn-based strategy games like JRPGs back in the day, or even kind of RTSs. I was less StarCrafty and I was more like Civ as a guy when you're talking about computer games. And then Total War franchise was amazing. Ever since the original Total War, I've been playing all of the different franchises. I could never really click with like the Shogun Total Wars. I just couldn't click with it. But other than that, I've pretty much played them all and I've thought they were brilliant. And then the Total War 1 came out. It was perfect. It was perfect because obviously I played Warhammer Fantasy Battles and it wasn't Age of Sigmar, which I love as well, but it was all the old stuff that I loved. I could run around with forest goblins and like it was just brilliant. It was just brilliant. And it is still to this day, in my opinion, brilliant. Rob, the word you're looking for is nerd. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Red Alert 2 was great. I loved Command & Conquer. That was the shit. So they were all brilliant. And then obviously... It was also a passion of mine now, which was Warhammer. So the integration of those in Total War 1 was amazing, and I lost so many fucking hours to that game. Hundreds of hours. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. And then Total War 2 came out, and it was just as good, if not better. And it was never really the skill cap. There are some amazing YouTubers, if you want, and like you can just go wild watching like the YouTubers who like you could play PvP as well, but like so those guys all like talk about army builds in PvP, army builds when you're playing the campaign. I think the campaign's beautiful. I think the story's great. Like they take it through this stuff, so it's just brilliant. So I'm kind of like, this is just going to be me over egging a product today that I'm not invested in at all, other than I love it, which is great. If you guys have never played, I'll talk about some of the cool elements which I think are fun to talk about. Total War is 2 still. Can we shout out Kernigget in the chat, by the way, everyone, who is doing a Beards of Sigmar calendar series, which I'm really enjoying. They're on my Twitter if you guys want to see. So one of the cool bits, if you play the campaign for Total War, if you've never played, one of the cool things is that each army, or each race, sorry, plays differently to each other. So if you play as, a good example would be, is if you play as the Wood Elves, you basically start off like a very like strong kind of central area. And then as you take over more of the map becomes like forested and it looks awesome, which is super cool. Whereas if you play Chaos and you take over different areas of the map, like it becomes all chaosified. But if you play Chaos, for example, when you do play as Chaos, like you don't ever like build buildings, you just destroy cities, and then you have like a roving camp, which is cool. Whereas if you play as dwarves, you can like dig under the tunnel, which is super, like you can go on the underway. Like they all just play differently, they have different goals, they have different armies, and I think it's super fun and it's really good. That's what I've got. It's good, it's really good, is what it is. JBM, between Total War 1 and 2, I've played 700 hours. Yeah. It's just Tom Whitbrook. I hope you're well. Hope the painting's going well as well. Give me that low fantasy wizards riding polar bears, fighting demons, riding mechanical rhinos. That's what I want, Tom Whitbrook. I agree with you. The old world low fantasy of wizards. Also, faction and races can be different. All the Skaven play very different. Old Mate Cobb is right. So if you're like, oh, this looks quite cool, I might get into it. Or if you want to pick up the old one, it couldn't be recommended highly enough. The only thing I am a little pissy about, which I'm just going to make sure I am pissy about it, is why the fuck could they not have released it 1 year ago when I had this 1 year pandemic to get through? That's all I'm going to say. I mean, I wouldn't have got much done, but I'd have had a great time. So, like, probably be broke and living in the streets, but somehow hooked up to a computer. Is this first Total War still worth a bash deal? Yeah, so if you guys, I don't know about purchasing, so you guys are going to have to go look, but if you go onto the Steam store, if there's some sort of bundle where you get everything in one sort of DLC, then just fucking buy it, man. Like, it'll be the best money you spend. There is so much gameplay in that. You play as dwarves for like 200 hours, and then you can play as wood elves for 200 hours, and then you could never try and do very well with Empire because humans suck. And then, yeah, they're brilliant. Norska's great. I love playing as those guys and Woolly Mammoth. But what's also exciting is it's clear that there's been like a massive integration with Games Workshop's like design team. So I guess the release of the Old World game has been because they're also releasing all of this Warhammer 3 stuff. And I think that the reason that we're seeing that is because basically they just had to design a bunch of stuff to give Creative Assembly anyway, because they won't want Creative Assembly to do it, because obviously they have to control everything, even if they do it badly. 40k app rules, communications, law, to name but a few of the things that they don't do very well anymore. But the recycling, though, nailing it. Only problem with Total War at this point is the barrier to entry because of how much content they've created for it. Razor Wolf, that's a good point. But again, if you buy... getting into Total War is cheaper than getting into Warhammer, like carte blanche. Yeah? I have to wait for a while for it to come out on Mac, no doubt. Moobs, I'm sorry about that. But you can play Total War now on Mac. Definitely. You can play Total War 1 and 2 on Mac. So if you do have a Mac, it's playable. But yeah, Rob Kelly, you only need the factions you want to play, though, he is right. You're right, there's a bit of a barrier to entry and a cost. But if you buy the base game, there's loads of great armies, like sort of loads of great campaigns to play through, which is just the one. You need a good PC, says Planchette. Online battles load like 5 to 10 minutes. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I'm a bit of an old school Total War lad. So, like, there used to be a time in the past where you weren't able to skip your opponent's turns. So if you got really late into a campaign, you just be like, end my turn. And you go make a cup of tea, read a book while you're waiting for the next turn to happen. all the content you already own will be added to the next game, says Razor Wolf. Yes, they did that between Total War 1 and Total War 2, which was brilliant. You can play Vamp Coast, so you can finally have your Vampire Pirates if you want, which is super fun. Let's look at the stuff, though, because obviously the why it's also... I know this is a Warhammer channel, but this is... I'm sorry, you guys are just going to have to listen to this because it's good. I thought we could just take a look at the stuff that they've obviously... hobby in the term breaks. Knigget, that's right. I do that. I hobby in the term breaks. That's a good one. Pete, thanks for resubscribing, and I hope you're well. I clicked end turn on the first day of Rome 2 Total War being out before it was patched like 7 years ago, and I'm still waiting for the turn to end. I got that feel. Provoke tree, I got that feel. Oh, okay, so Planchette says, sorry, Dan Bird says, that's because you need an SSD. The PC itself doesn't need to be that great. I've got, and then goes on to name some stats, which are not particularly high-end, but it runs brilliantly since I got an SSD. Thanks, Dan Bird, for the tip. Play yeah, ding-dong. Hey, Tristan. The campaign in 2 is better, but the races in the 1s are I like better, so both are good, says Rob Kelly. Yeah, you've got access to loads. What's really good is when you do start as a race... again, if you've already played it, and shout out your favorite one here. If you start as a race, then you get different named lords, or like your heroic lord, who is the start of your like your starter guy, basically. And then you can recruit other guys and give them hilarious names, which is always really funny. Go off and do missions. You can put them in your little armies. It's so good. It's so good. You're just listening to a recovering crack addict talk about how much he loves crack, basically. So whenever this game comes out, I'm in. I'm in like Flynn. And unlike pre-ordering something from Games Workshop, when you do pre-order this game, you normally get like some sort of starter race or something for free. So, I mean, it's stuff they could have just put in the fucking game anyway, but obviously companies have to make money, right? You know, companies go brr. That's what they do. Hey, Dromex. Long-time Hydro homie tuning in. Thanks for doing so. Don't get the chance to watch live much once they love the show. Thank you so much, DromerX. Really appreciate it. What's the best way to play Total War Warhammer right now? 2 with some DLC. Chrono, I think it's 2 with some DLC, yeah. Like, I think if you buy 2 now, you get most of the stuff in 1. In fact, actually, I'm just going to go look on... Is that Steam Store even say? Let's go find out for you. Hold on. I'm researching it for you now. So number 2 is £40 on the Steam store. There's a bunch of free DLCs, and I don't know if there's a bundle. There must be a bundle before. I mean, you could get it now, or you could maybe wait until there's a bundle. Maybe someone in the chat will be able to give you some better purchasing advice. And again, there are YouTube channels who are fucking dedicated to this is the only thing that they do. Like, they're like, same way Age of Sigmar 40k, that's really all I do. Like, they just do Total War, and you can watch so much content. There's so much good stuff, like army tiers, what's the best way to do this, why do Beasts of Chaos suck, you know, loads of stuff, right? And it's super fun. So, like, you should absolutely jump on that as, like, a side hobby, especially during lockdown as well. Like, you got nothing else to do. If you're struggling with doing hobby because you've got no events coming up, like, it's a great way to immerse yourself in the world, which I think is good. Wait for the Steam sale, says Dan Bird. I agree with you, absolutely. Yeah, there will probably be a release on discount for both 1 and 2, so it's also a time to do that as well. But yeah, there's always Steam sales. There would have been one at Christmas, so... what is the best... when is it set? Is it set in the end times? Okay, let's go look at some of the information that Warhammer Community put up. But also, when is it set is actually an interesting question, because the Total War 1 and Total War 2 actually are set in, like, 2502 or something, but like most importantly, they're set around when Karl Franz gets coronated. There's a little bit of an issue about this, because in the trailer, the old man who guides you through 1 and 2 is actually a young man in 3, right? So it is pre the end times, but it's also not necessarily concurrent with what's happening in 1 and 2. Which is kind of interesting as well. So they're, so I think that they're generally, so it might be a prequel, basically. So it might be set before, which is kind of interesting. It doesn't chronologically run after 1 and 2, but 1 and 2 aren't really, you play as a faction in 1 and 2 through the story. So it's not overly it's not like another game. Will it include pod racing? I don't know. I hope it includes pod racing. All right, so the trailer. Do you guys want to watch the trailer together? Because I don't know if you guys will hear it. If I press... Hold on. If I do this. Can you guys hear this? Hello? Any audio? Oh, no. Hold on. No, I need to change the audio. You guys have seen the trailer. You don't need me to watch the trailer with you. It's fine. It's fine. You don't need that. We could do, though. Let's watch the trailer. Let me just do some techie stuff to make it so that you can hear it. And then... Okay. Right, should work now. These are all the things I watch, by the way. Lo-fi hip-hop beats and things to do with 3D printing. Thanks for outing me, YouTube, you bitch. Right.
Death is like the winter chill. No door can keep it from us. In summer yet may bloom again.
Though yes, Sega. Ooh, baby. Loads of dead dudes.
My child. There is so much to tell you.
Wizards and shit.
That I have run out of time.
The sacrifice
I made was not enough. The dark gods still feed on our transgressions.
Right, so... Oh, fuck off. So one of the things that obviously like is cool about this is they... So they said there's going to be 6 playable races. So there's going to be the Ice Dudes we just saw. Ice Dudes for days. Nurgle as a whole faction, which is super exciting. Are we going to see... And they've obviously... This isn't like... the like 8th edition Nurgle stuff. It's clearly all the current fantasy stuff, like current Age of Sigmar kind of like designs, which is really exciting. Because what are we going to see? Are we going to see like Puskul Blight Lords? Are we going to see Blight Kings? Are we going to see Sloppity Battle Piper? Loads of options, right? That's just cool as shit. That's just cool. Also, if you guys listened to the show I did about narrative trailers, they haven't shown us anything. Don't know how the gameplay works. Nothing, right?
Corruption. Obsession.
Can I just say one thing that I really liked about this bit when I watched it the first time through is I've never really known how to describe Sinesh, like in a single throwaway word. Like, they're about obsession. That makes sense. Like, it's excessive obsession. Like, it's obsession. They're obsessives about something. Maybe they're obsessive about music and then they start growing, like, harp fucking bodies or whatever. But obsession is just really good. Yeah, I love that word. I've never been able to, like, figure out a way to say it. Goat fucking and shit is another way of putting it. It's like, say obsession or goat fucking and shit, which is good.
Corruption. Obsession. Deceit. Rage.
Khorne's the worst card. I just wanted to point out, just in case anyone's unsure, Khorne is obviously the worst god. So I get it. They're like, we'll put a big demon monster in there so that like everyone buys the stuff, but
deceit. Rage.
The word for Tzeentch is deceit, which I think is a clever way of like putting it down. What does everyone else think? I think that's corruption. It's corruption, obsession, deceit, and rage, which is great. I think it's great, like a throwaway. Because I mean, I've struggled with the language to describe both Tzeentch and Sinesh ever since I've ever. You know, have tried to describe the 4K's workshop. So, like, they've done a fucking smashing there.
You must face these demons.
Yeah. obviously Bet Right is going to be brilliant. They're not hippos, but they'll do. Jugs are going to be so good. And like, and it's nice to see. One of the things that upsets me about Total War 2 is it makes Saurus look so beefy, makes him look amazing, and then you go and look at your actual Saurus warriors from Games Workshop and you're like, oh, sad face, he's sad balls. I love big jokes. That's all I'm going to say. Right, again, just no offense to the Kislev guys, because I'm like, I'm pro them. But like, can we just take a minute to look at this? Look at these things. Fully armored, head to toe. Yeah, like, their beasts are covered in armor. They're absolutely stonk, right? Big, strong. And then what's Horsey and Stick Boy going to do? Like, they're getting smashed to pieces. I don't know what anyone else thinks, but... yeah, light cavalry charging headfirst into cataphracts. What? Right? There's no way that's going their way. Yeah. Winged hussars are the best cavalry in the real world, says Granada. Okay. So cool. So good to see. So good to see Bloodletters just be badass. I personally think she's fucked. But knowing how terrible Bloodthirsters are, she's probably going to take like 3 out. If you're talking no way, think this. The game, elves can actually wound and kill things. Elves. Good point, says Prop Joe. Thank you. The wizard is getting squished. I agree. Do you know what? Actually, one of the things I quite liked about this was when the Bloodthirsters attack in here. So like, he swings... he's fully unwounded, and the most he's able to do is take out 4 dudes. I was like, good representation. Like, well done, Creative Assembly. Like, that is about as good as they'll do. It's pretty much all they'll get out of a swing, and then they'll die. So well done. Well done there. Also, one of the things I thought when I was looking at it, having printed out an arch-villain demon recently that's like effectively looks like a Bloodthirster, it's beautiful, I thought about the Bloodthirster kit, of which I own maybe 4 Bloodthirsters, right? And they're cool, but like, how good would it be if you got like just some different wing? Because they in that one, he's got his wings like fully extended as opposed to more arch. He's like, and it would just be awesome to see some just different poses, I guess. Would be the kind of thing that would be so good, and we don't see, you know, but that's why 3D printers go burr, right? Because we're going to be able to see them all the time. Also, side note, obviously amazing. No, I won't say that out loud, but you can 3D print all the characters from Total War 2, is all I'm going to say. Not that you should. Okay, so there's some important points here, because I've watched some videos, so I know, right? Obviously, you've got Chaos invading, whatever, and then you've got the ice over here with Cathay. And then this one is apparently the important one. Is this Cathay or whatever? Like, but basically, the Dragon Empire. So Total War... no, sorry, Warhammer Chinese people is also coming as well, which is also one of the playable races, which is also really exciting, because we haven't seen any... designs for them as well. We haven't ever seen miniatures from Games Workshop. So there's just loads of stuff. Ogres also, maybe. Chaos Dwarves could be potentially one of the things that we're going to see. Oh my god, it's coming out this year. Honestly, I know this is really selfish, but I super want it to come out before lockdown's over. I've got too much work to do afterwards, and I'll die. But there's definitely, like, I'm sure there'll be ogres, or not, there definitely will be ogres. I'm sure there will be ogres. Totally not racist stereotypes of Chinese people, says getting it. Yeah, I agree. I mean, one of the things about the old world, ultimately, that you have to really understand is that they were really just riffing off stuff that they saw. Like, fantasy normally rips off the real world to some degree anyway, and Warhammer Fantasy Battles was just full rip-offs of, like, different areas, right? Like ancient Egypt and Aztecs and all that other stuff, right? So apparently Q4, no! Maybe that's what I'll do over Christmas. I'll just play, like, for a week straight as a Christmas stream. There we go. That's my present to myself. So they've shown some stuff as well. What I really like is, like, there's a really cool interview here, if you guys want to watch it, with Mark Bedford, who's super lovely, this guy. Lovely about some of the design work he did, which I think is super cool. He's a lovely guy. And then some of this design stuff. I like this as well, because obviously this is the Forge World Studio who will be working with the Creative Assembly. So this won't be Citadel. But I do like the idea that they might carry some of them themes over into Age of Sigmar. I think that that'll be really, really fascinating, ultimately, because I feel like being able to see, like, what's the Age of Sigmar equivalent of this, or what will the cities of Sigmar be like? Because Total War makes shit tons of money, and Games Workshop will know that, and it also makes shit tons of money for Games Workshop. So I also feel like the idea that they're going to, like, expand the cities of Sigmar and then be able to, like, do designs like this or modular designs would be fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I doubt that the stuff from the old world will be integratable into Age of Sigmar. I don't think that they're going to do that, but we'll see, right? I really hope all the old world kits will be dual kits for Age of Sigmar. We'll see. I don't necessarily even think that there'll be 28 mil scale, so Age of Sigmar scale. Rumours are that it's epic sized, not small, not whatever. But that's the rumour. You guys will have to keep an eye on that as time goes on. That's the rumour I heard anyway. How some of these rumours, we'll see. Like, there are all rumors that I hear etheric, but more likely to be, I don't know, we'll see. I would doubt that it's going to be Age of Sigmar equivalent, not even scale. I don't think they'll transpose, that's what I'll say. If it's epic, they'll lose like 8% potential customers as Grenadi, maybe. Balstar Gelt should be the name of the next cryptocurrency. I agree with you, Haken. Most rank and file file games are 50mm scale, though, so you could be right. So there we go. It's 28mm from what Scrivo's heard, so different opinions, different places, but we'll see. Maybe there's also a concurrent smaller scale game coming out from Forge World at the same time, and that's where those two rumors are, like, coalescing. So don't be like Rob from the Honest Wargamer said. Those are the two concurrent. As I hear anything else, I'll let you know. Okay. Didn't they say it was AOS? What Horus says to Heresy? Maybe. So let's look at some of this stuff. So the Jade Empire, I think, is interesting. Now you're probably wondering what are the factions. So one of the ones here is Cathay at the end of the trailer, and now the largest empire in the Warhammer world will finally be getting its time in the sun. Dragon Empire of Cathay has long been mentioned in the background of the old world history, and thanks to Warhammer Studios working close partnership with Creative Assembly, fans will get their real taste. I think what is most interesting is so something that Games Workshop have missed, obviously, since the launch of Total War, is any direct sales. They've had no direct sales from any miniatures because of this, right? Unless you ended up buying like a Charybdis, which I don't even know if Charybdis is in Total War. Maybe it is. Like Tree Men, maybe. Like, but you haven't had any direct sales. So with it being Q4, so that's the last quarter of this year being released, maybe that's when we'll be having a look at the Total War, so the Old World release as well. Because, or maybe they'll wait a few months, or maybe it was 6 months. But it makes sense that what they're doing is they're creating a different set of kind of miniatures and stuff, and then they're going to be able to directly sell off the back of that. That's what I would do if I integrated my marketing, but obviously, you know, they couldn't punch their way out of a paper bag, let alone like open it with their minds. So, sorry, I don't mean to be like that. That's how I feel. So yeah, the Saurus Old Blood on Carno is in there as well. Yeah, you're right. So there are some sculpts from Total War that you can buy now from if in the Age of Sigmar world. I think what's most interesting about this is this could really lead to an End Times time at some point, and then we may, in 10 years' time, get Total War Age of Sigmar, which would be, again, amazing. I think that would work really, really well. Surely the Old World is years away yet. Well, don't forget, I know it's going to seem weird, but we have had an entire year go by in COVID, which we haven't really registered as people. It's actually 2021. So, I think a couple of years into development is where they are already. So who knows? Like, and then, you know, give them another year. That's 3 years. That's quite a long time. Next year for Old World works. I think that works, Stu Flynn. They could do 5 books as a campaign each. Yes, they could. Total War AOS will come after AOS has been Stravarkia. But my point is still, what is interesting is a few things. Number one, being able to explore all these realms and stuff, which is super cool for lore kids. And also the game is super fun. But also I think one of the interesting things, if you want to relate it back to the hobby, is loads of new miniatures being released from Forge World, which is cool. Maybe there'll be Age of Sigmar, like usable in Age of Sigmar, maybe they won't. But also how this will lead to design mechanics and ethos in Age of Sigmar, I think is a kind of an interesting one. Because ultimately what would be super cool to see is as you see here, they're really working on like cities and like races and areas, basically. And I feel like that's such a strong working point of the Total War series. Like, here I am, I'm this guy, I start in this area, this is my kingdom. I would really like to see them do that for Age of Sigmar, and hopefully that translates over, right? Apologize about that, just staying hydrated. AOS would be very difficult to integrate into a flat mat structure, Rob Kelly. I agree. But they don't, I mean, they could try and explore it, right? But we'll see. Realms would have to be islands or something, says Planchette. Yeah, it could, like, you know, you could get super fucky, have realm gates, take you to different places, move around. Imagine, like, it would be very interesting anyway. Imagine you had an area. I don't know. Let's pick Heesh, let's say. You could battle over that, and that could, because that's a place. Heesh is an actual place. So, and then you could have realm gates taking you to other parts, right? So maybe just Death's goal would be just to dominate all of Heesh, let's say, but you could take a realm gate into another realm, or who knows? Who knows? I mean, ultimately, they broke up Warhammer Fantasy Battle and subsidiary elements into 3 whole games over this. So you really could end up with like, I mean, it makes sense for Games Workshop and Creative Assembly to work full time. I love that there's just this picture of Mark Bedford here, by the way. Just we haven't changed the picture. He's just here having a chat. I'll skip it back, but he's obviously a babe and deserves all the love he could get. I seen your Twitter. I am here. Thanks, Irish Marator. I appreciate all of you being here as well, trying to get us to that partner status. So thanks. Do you think Old World could become more successful than AOS, and how do you think Games Workshop react to that? Push it more, rein it in. I can't see it, but never know. Dan Bird, I don't know how it could become more popular. Obviously, they're splitting their fantasy range. Their sci-fi range, for lack of any other words, space fantasy, they obviously, there's some split. Obviously, some people only play Heresy. But you, I mean, you're talking about a four-draw game, boys and ladies and boys. This is not going to be cheap. If you're like, holy crap, those new Dawn Riders for Lumineth are pricey. I don't know if anyone here has collected a four-draw army. As the owner of a Chaos Dwarf army, it's not fucking cheap, lads. Like, if you're like you're talking about barriers of entry, is I know, Age of Sigmar is obviously expensive, as is 40k. But you're talking, yeah, there you go. You all forgot. It's going to cost like a third to 50% more than regular stuff, right? It's going to be, it's not mass market. That's a good point. Also, there's a whole bunch of other stuff to say about Forge World. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but they're like shitty model makers. Designs, beautiful. I'm going to make sure I put this in context. Designs, beautiful. How you get the models, awful. They've started with some of the newer stuff to do some really nice instruction books, which is great, but you almost always have to gap fill. That's the thing. You're working with resin, which is very different to working with plastic. It scratches, it paints, it leaks. You have to seal it. You have to scrub it. It's not very friendly. Like, so if it's resin from Forge World, like, it just isn't as user-friendly as the plastics that you get from GW, ultimately. And if it's a third more the price, so we'll see. So I think it will be plastic like Titanicus with resin upgrades as Born Again Manchard. Fascinating. Newest Forge World Specialist games are plastic, though, so there is hope. Sergeant Rolf, that's a good point. And maybe that is what we're going to see. Maybe they will move away from it. So if it's plastic, excellent. Which would be weird that there's now a design studio that's doing plastic like Citadel's doing plastic. I think it would be Titanicus, Forge World Special Game Team doing the game and design, with most of the kits being plastic, but special characters and upgrades being resin, says Pete. Okay, there you go. Is the Blood Bowl stuff reasonably priced? Titanicus stuff isn't reasonably priced, is it? Or is it? I guess it's a real question. I'm sure if they did Nippon, there would be a huge take-up in Japan, says Colonel Cabbage. I agree with you. You're right. This might be a game system that is willing or ready to conquer the Age of Sigmar. Like, conquer's not... I don't mean to over-egg it, is what I don't mean to do. But you're right. There will be extreme sorts, as Tom Whitbrook, around the old world regardless. It's not going to please everyone. Look at all the people who are like, all my favourite characters are coming back. It's a set way of the past. Your favourite characters haven't been born yet. They're going to use up Finecast levels. The Titanic stuff you could 3D print is cheap. All right. Well, yeah. So there's that. And will it affect the Age of Sigmar community? Because it's a fantasy game at the end of the day. And you have a whole bunch of people. There's some people who never jumped over into Age of Sigmar. And they're like, no, it's terrible. Like, I don't like the setting. And so they'll be, like, over the moon to joyously push the old world in our faces. I'm interested in it, like, because it's some cool new minis and the game. The gameplay is going to be the most important part when you're actually talking about the old world. Hold on. Let me just read one of these things in the chat. I'm getting distracted today. Poop Scoop. Rob, you started about a year ago with your stream streak. It's insane that you still do it. Some might call it, really appreciate evening it out without the legendary Owen Jackson. It's amazing to me. You always manage to bring amazing new content. You're much appreciated, mate. Thanks. I appreciate it. I mean, some days it's just me painting. Let's be fucking real. So thank you. And we're hitting a year, so that's the important part. Isn't the old world just pandering to people who already ruined one system? So when the announcement of the old world came out, I was honestly upset. Because one of the things I didn't want to do was I didn't want to split what I thought was a great community, the Age of Sigmar community. I didn't want people to push into this other game system with quite clearly cool models. Like, we're all excited, right? Guys riding bears are going to be super cool. I really like Japanese-themed stuff. There's a really great set of miniatures from Titanforge, which I'm going to print up soon. They look beautiful. And knowing that there's going to be an army slash race that's going to be playable from there is awesome. I think that's super cool. And I'm also obviously going to play the Total War game. So, some really good points to be made there. Is it going to split the community, though? That's kind of my worry, a little bit. You know, like, the, you guys that play fantasy, they end up being like, cool, I'll play Total War, not Total War, I'll play the old world for a bit. And that's great for customers. That's great for people who are like, want to play games. And actually, do you know what, fuck it, it's probably great for me. Like, maybe I'm just being salty that I'm going to have to learn a third set of rules, because I will. This is the third set of rules I will learn. And it's on square bases. I don't think that looks as good. I honestly don't. I just, I've never thought it looks as good now as cinematic as round bases and the way the squads work and stuff. I just don't think it makes, it just doesn't look very nice. But one of the things I am very excited about, Rob, do you play much of Total Warhammer? Oh my God, Dan, not for a year, but too fucking much is the answer. I think one of the cool things, actually, about the old world, when it comes to playing on the tabletop, is you will be able to recreate the actual places. That's one of the hardest things in Age of Sigmar, I think, for building terrain and a board, because you're like, where the fuck are we playing? You know, like the swirling lands of, I don't know, whatever. It's almost too ephemeral to pick a place, whereas, you know, there's some, like I haven't seen, like, so Creative Assembly are going to bring, if you guys haven't played Total War, what they do if you play near, there are like dwarven maps, really, even if they're in the background, but still, and elven towers and temple ziggurats and all that other stuff, they're kind of brought to life, which is amazing, right? And they will be again in this franchise, so you'll have all these kind of like houses and buildings and other stuff. What I would love to see from Games Workshop is like the architecture of the realms or something like that, because where you play, like if I'm playing near, so that let's think of a place. So if I'm playing near Hallowheart, right? Hallowheart is this like tall, steep buildings and whatever. But I'm never actually battling in Hallowheart, if that makes sense, because it would be full, because Hallowheart would be a big metropolitan city. There'd be people living on top of each other. It'd be full. What I would really like to see is like the couple of towns or smaller cities around Hallowheart where there might, could be a battle nearby, or, you know, there's something available. Although probably most battles just probably happened in a muddy field. So you probably should just constantly put muddy fields down and just play on that for battles. So yeah, like I think that's one of the exciting things as well, is if you play Total War, you would be able to build the actual kind of like area, like Kislev, there'll be some great design cues from the maps that they produce, and you'll be able to like, you know, cool, I'm going to build my board at home to look like that, I'm going to do something similar, if that makes sense. One of the things I liked about the Broken Realms as Provoke Tree, Marathi, is that they gave a definitive place for the major events and battles to happen, and it was a place people had to reason to be invested in. Provoke Tree, I agree. I think that's actually really, really important. Hey, Hail Hydra, big love to you. Hope you're well. I'm all in for Chaos Dwarfs as well. I mean, we haven't even talked about Chaos Dwarfs yet, which I obviously will talk about in a minute. I prefer the Old World setting, says Wet Palette Warrior. AOS is vague as fuck. Yeah, and the Old World setting makes sense because it's just the world, but fantasy, right? So there's the French are there in Bretonnia, like the English are there in the English Germanic are there in the Empire, like, so it does make sense. Okay, the Warhammer Underworlds online game is a good representation of the tabletop version, as no one is playing it. Says, can you roll a crit? Terrain is where AOS has fallen down for me. It's nowhere near as far along as 40k as multi-level buildings and creating a look, says Bling Marine. It isn't from Games Workshop. However, it is from other tabletop designers. I guess it's not quite the market as making miniatures, but there's some great stuff. Yeah, anyway, 3D printers go better. I'm just going to say that every time. I was going to make a 3D printer comment, but I'm not going to right now. Just watch square bases are going to be expensive upgrades, bro. Who's looking forward to £10 for 10 square bases? I mean, ultimately, I'd be very excited to actually explore the old world again from Games Workshop. Like, it's how I entered into Warhammer, and it's kind of a place I love, and I think it would be super cool. I find that that take funny, Rob. I'm making a specific spot in the Mortal Realms for my board. There's lots of specific maps now. Okay, Tristan, I'll go back and have a look at how many specific spots there are. But it's not that there are specific spots, it's more the design cues for those spots, I think, is the kind of the thing that I'm talking about. I think one of the things that's most easy to take on board with the old world, Total War Warhammer and all these other things, is that we understand the specific design cues. As soon as we saw the Kislev, we got it. It's like Eastern European, Asian sort of like influences. We get it. We know like the themes that are going to go with it, right? Like we understand. And same with the Dragon Empire that we're going to see. I think we already kind of understand how it's going to look, and therefore we already understand how the buildings are going to look. For the Caradhran Overlords, I'm like, how do those buildings look? Like, and there are some good artwork pieces, but mainly the artwork pieces are of battles. They're rarely of like the cities and everything else that's going on in there. That's why I think things like Soulbound RPG are good. And in fact, actually, it's good that any licensing is getting on board with taking Games Workshop stuff and expanding it, because we get more expanded story and environment. I'm super invested now, personally, that it's where the battles take place more often so than necessarily, like, and the impetus for the armies taking place. So it's where and why, as opposed to, like, what. I think is like those are the things that really kind of create the game for me. I think that's really important. I don't care about what I'm fighting for in AOS, says Wet Palette Warrior, but fighting for Altdorf or Norn has gravitas. My Free God army is based on the Empire, but I enjoy the AOS gameplay. I hear you. I understand that. Oh, I get you. Places have a specific visual language. Yes, Tristan. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say, and apologize I didn't make that clear enough. Yeah, I really want to understand where I'm battling and the design cues of where I'm battling, as opposed to just X place. Okay, you've been a shill for Total War, let me to pre-order the third Stormborn series. I'm not being a shill. There are people who have affiliate links, by the way, that you can use, none of which I've said. So, fuck you, right? is the Soulbound manual worth a pickup just for the background? Yes, 100%. Shout out for the Soulbound RPG from, if someone can... tell me who it's from again. I picked it up. It's a great read. If you want something, especially right now, it's really good. So yeah, there's a really, really good, a good pickup if you want to expand some Age of Sigmar narrative. Cubicle 7. Thank you, everyone. And Colonel Cabbage put it in the chat. It's has anyone done a KO army with Ferengi heads? No, but that's a brilliant idea, Nikki de Williams. That's fucking brilliant. The rules of acquisition. I've just realized that the KO are Ferengi. That's a nice little crossover. If Total War 3 is taking us into End Times, will there be a Nagash DLC? Potentially. Potentially. I mean, they've milked Warhammer Fantasy Battle, right? Again, it's kind of one of those Aether Gold is Platinum. Oh my God. Oh my God. We don't know is the answer to Hail Hydra, but I would probably think that they'd milk it for a fourth installment, ultimately. They love milking this game. But you're on... I'm going to be really clear on this. It's the best value for money, I think, like when it comes to gaming, that you can really get if you are into these like long strategy games. Because you can kind of like... You can kind of just put it on easy, click through some battles... Like, I can't be asked to fight that battle because those guys look like jerks and you just fucking auto it and you probably win. Yeah. All the way to, like, you can play, like, the most hardcore and it's super intricate and, like, everything's important and, like, got to keep doing relations and trades and you can get, like... So, it, like, it's all the way from casual to, like, super complicated. But either way, it'll take you hours and hours and it's super valuable fun. So, yeah, really good. I need to shut up about it. It's terrible. the old world is where I started, and a few, when it comes to Black Library books, the old world ones had so much more depth to them, and some of the current Sigmar ones is jabs. I agree with that, I think, as well. I think they've been really, it's really hard, right? Like, I want to make sure, like, I'm crystal clear on giving Games Workshop and all of the creative people who are trying to create something for Age of Sigmar the credit I think that they deserve. They were just given, like, a fucking nothing. They were like, you know, they were like, we're doing this now, cool, this is what we're doing, this is that. They're like, they really didn't go into it with like any 5, 10, 15 year plan. Like, there was none of that, and they've had to like scrape everything together, which is why it's taken so long for us to get the Cities of Sigmar book and the Ogre Moor Tribes book. Like, they literally were just like ham-fisting it. And again, such a small team, they gave no money, they make millions in profit, and they will not hire, like, they just won't hire more creatives. Why they haven't doubled or tripled their like narrative writing staff and their rules writing staff. I just don't understand, and I'll never understand, like, ever. And they should. Like, it should be, because we should get more out of them, and anyone who thinks that that's entitled is a fucking idiot, right? So, like, they should just do more with the money that they're making to create more exciting kind of, like, context. So they've had this small team developing this whole world for only 5 years. It's not a lot of time, really. So to give them their due and their credit, or just understand the stress that they're under and the pressure, like, the Age of Sigmar narrative is coming together. It's just archaically slowly. And also, it's taken them a long time to probably, like, put that in, like, a cohesive idea of what it's going to be like in the future. That comment, it's been 5 years, bud. Yeah. So, like, it's taken them a long time to build it. Whereas the Warhammer Fantasy Battle and also the Old World is already on established history we already understand. Aztecs, Egyptians, all of that. That's stuff we already know. That's mythology that we're already a part of. We understand Germanic kind of like towns and Nuln and stuff like that, and Black Powder times. Like, it's already part of the history that we know. So really, they're just co-opting history we already know to add more stories into. Whereas Age of Sigmar has had to create, they don't get to co-opt anything. And they just have to create this thing from the ground up. And so I'm just going to make sure that the credit is there for, like, when they do really good story, it deserves to be rewarded. But I do think that there's probably gaps and probably could do with more to expand the story ultimately. You know that they don't up the staff narrative, does not pay money. I know 4K well, right? What is the question? Make money and reinvest it. Community is craving in-depth content, lots of goodwill and money to be made. Wet Palette Warrior, I obviously agree with that. Yeah, we're all on the same page. I think the AOS team are doing a stellar job, but it just doesn't grab me or excite me like the Old World. It's probably because it's where I started 20 years ago, and I do wonder when they redo it, it will draw in new players in. It's also a good point as well. I think that's also the point about, like, the dumb... Well, how long have I been alive? Fucking ages, sorry. There's loads to unpack here. We're feared of monkeys. We agree. We agree that, like, the Old World being based on the real world, making it feel deep, already adds to it, right? Hey, John Booth. Hope you're well. Hey, Tank. How you doing? Hashtag Shield Wall. What was I going to say? Oh, God. I lost my train of thought. It was something to do with the job that they're doing. Started 20 years ago. What was the point? I can't remember what it was. Okay. Oh, thank you. Okay. High fantasy, low fantasy. Moronic. The argument between the two. No offense to anyone who's made that statement before. I'll be less hyperbolic with my insults. What I mean is the Old World was high fantasy. There's a guy flying around on a Pegasus doing spells. Like, it's not low fantasy. Low fantasy is, like, no magic, right? Like, super, like, there's none of that, right? This is, like, they had all sorts. They had, like, dragon lords, like, dipped in fires, phoenixes. They had magic for days. You had artifacts. You had, like, goblins made out of mushrooms. Like, you had, it was all. There's no delineation between the two, right? So, like, more high fantasy would be fine. High fantasy and more high fantasy would probably be fair. But I would never say it's low fantasy. Have you seen Warhammer Fantasy Battle? High elves. They are. So they already had that. So So I don't think that there's that necessarily big separation. I think what really hurt Age of Sigmar when it first came out was the quote-unquote stupid rules, where you had things like you could talk to your models and they talk back to you, and if you knelt, you won, sort of thing, or your opponent won, whatever. So I think that there's obviously a disconnect there in the conversation, which I just don't think is fair. While I agree with what you're saying there, I do think that it misses the argument that AOS may not be as well grounded as the Old World, based on the fact that the Old World draws on real life nations. And Born Again Manchild, I agree. That's why a good point. Simon Frohley from South London Legion made a really good point in the chat I was in earlier the other day, or today, in fact. He said, like, worlds like the Wheel of Time, Midkemia from Raymond E. Feist, so from his sort of books. The Song of Ice and Fire, sorry. The Game of Thrones universe, they're all kind of based on stuff we already kind of know. Like, so they're not trying to, like, upend it and make it weird. So, yeah. Like, I agree. Having that grounding is super useful. check this link. Oh, okay. What link am I looking at? But first, look at the Warhammer Quest Cursed City. Let's do this together, gang. I haven't looked at this before, so let's go. This went live 3 minutes ago. Our first look. Hear ye, meet the merciless Ulfenwatch, the skeleton militia. Oh my god, I'm so excited. That keep the streets free of defiance. Who can rid us of this undead menace? I am the Cursed City Crier, and I'll be feeding you all the information you need to help rid this place of its undead scourge. Oh, babe. I am just a YouTube React guy now. This is it. But it's really, I'm actually a article React guy. Welcome to the first in new series of weekly articles. We'll be taking a look at the heroes and villains of Ulfenkahn in the build-up to the release of Warhammer Quest Cursed City. We're kicking off with a look at Captain Hallgrim and his Ulfenwatch. And boy, have they got a bone to pick with you. Don't need that in there. Great artwork, though. Is it? Yeah. Let's have a look. I like that this skeleton isn't even looking at the child, but the child is scared. And then this skeleton looks like he's maybe even, like, sad. He's, like, looking at him forlornly. I think that's good. That's good. Look at these high-ass buildings as well. These are super cool. Anyway. Hoping to receive the gift of the Soulblight Curse. Ooh. Alexander Hallgrim joined the traitorous purge of Ulfenkahn's nobility. This did not go down well with his fellow officers, who bound him hand and foot and threw him in a sewer pit to be eaten by the court rats. Hoping to receive the gift of the Soulblight Curse, so to become a vampire. Hallgrim joined the traitorous purge of Ulfenkahn's nobility. So, it's a city that got taken over by some vampires. His skeleton was then raised as a death rattle officer to lead the Ulfenwatch, although he is now little more than a rotting automaton. Wow. Holy shit. I mean, that is way more armored than a skeleton warrior is in your head, right? Jesus. Yeah, man. I love that eye patch. Maybe that's where all of the rumors from Vampires came from. That one eye patch. These new Mordheim warbands look sick, says Nick. I agree. Great model. Can I just say something? I'm very interested in this. I am, and I want to talk about it. And I'm sorry to say 3D printing is going to burn again. I super respect whenever we see a new model and we all go, wow, that's brilliant, because it is brilliant. However, if you haven't yet, take the time to go onto a 3D printing Patreon or like a My Mini Factory or something like that and just click around. One of the things I'm finding most exciting at the minute in the hobby generally, very quickly, just a quick point, is that it's amazing that this one model is great, but the amount of designs coming out for fantasy miniatures right now is ludicrous. Hundreds a month. So when you see one from Games Workshop, you're like, holy shit, this is cool. I like the halberd. I like the eye patch. I like the scabbard that's a bit rotted away. That's super fun. I don't really understand the point in a skeleton wearing armor, but I guess kind of makes sense. Wouldn't that be heavy? Like how the bones connect in? I guess it's magic. I like the stance. The stance is interesting. To control a city the size of Ulfenkahn, an army is required. With no time or place, as in the local newspaper, emptied the corpse gardens and crypt tunnels. Soon an army of fleshless soldiers were dispensing brutal justice on the streets from their stronghold, the Varngate. Okay, some cool-ass skeleton warriors. They're pretty funky. for big resin, that's what I'm shilling for, big resin. Okay, they look good. While an individual skeleton warrior shouldn't cause you party much of a trouble, they've been inspired to fight even harder by their banner bearer, so make sure you try and take them out first. Oh shit, where's the banner bearer? This guy. Okay, I like their spears. Their spears are really cool, actually. Like, there's some genuine effort and design gone into the spearheads. That's funky. Really cool. We're taking another look at some of the more models. We'll have a quest next week and visit the website. Oh, nice. Okay. Okay, what do we all think? Thoughts, comments in the chat, please. I will never. The skeleton died in the armor and was brought back inside. A banner, it could be the renovation like the cultists were in Blackstone. Could be, says Nezel. Very nice. These are really nice. Not too over the top. Rob, where is the Champ Tom 40k stream today? That's tonight. Tonight is Tom and Nick are going to be on the show with me tonight. Very much looking forward to talking to those. These guys are giving me a boner. Great. Better than a panoramic view of video of just the models. Agreed. I want these new Death Rattle. Probably not buying the game, but I will be picking up the skeletons. I'm probably not buying the game either. Realistically looking weapons and armor just looks great on skeletons. Even I like the basic skeleton warriors already have because their spears were proportioned just how real war spears were. Yeah, I guess, yeah, that's a good point. They're not like, they're not phalanx. Like, they're not huge, like, massive pikes. They're spears, right? Which are a little bit more, like, more manageable in a fight. Hey, Johnny Derp, you've missed nothing. It's the simple point. But they look great. When do we think? So they've said that they're going to release articles over the next few weeks. So maybe a month until we see them put out. I think that's interesting. Maybe less. Maybe a month. I feel like it's going to be a month. Yeah, I'm hyped for the hobby too. Yeah, I think it's a good place to end the show today. I'm hyped for the hobby. There's some really exciting stuff. Shout out to Creative Assembly for doing a narrative trailer that showed me nothing about how the fucking campaign or anything else works, but got me as excited as if you'd spun it on a Lazy Susan, whatever it's called, and stuck a red LED on. That would have been fine. I haven't watched that video yet, Cabbage. I'm watching that later today. But thank you everyone for tuning in. You're all brilliant. I don't want to over egg it, but I'm going to be joined tomorrow by the Owen Jackson as we talk about the list from two different events, the Hammer Time event and also an in real life event, I think that's happening in Geelong, maybe, tomorrow. So expect us to talk about that, which is going to be fun. The Nikos and the Tom tonight, we're going to be talking about data sheets from Death Guard. We're going to be talking about lists that we want to run. We're generally going to be talking about a cool 40Kers, so do join us for that. You are all brilliant. I can't thank you enough for tuning in. I'm really excited about the hobby in all ways. 40K, Age of Sigmar, fuck it, even the old world, Total War. I love being in this community with you. Thank you very much. Thank you for being on Patreon. Thank you for listening to the podcast. And I'll see you all later today, or I'll see you tomorrow. But join us later today, because it'll be great. And have a nice day. Take care of yourselves. Bye. I pressed the wrong button. Okay, one more time. See you later. You're all really cool. I really like it.